A woman went to a seamstress with 73 yards of lace, asking her to make a nightgown for her wedding night. The seamstress said, "I do make wedding gowns, but 73 yards of lace?" The woman said, "We're Unitarian Universalists. We believe that the joy is in the search." We are a curious people, and people in other churches say of us, "What a curious people." They don't get us. When they say to me, "Oh, you're the people who don't believe anything," I try to resist saying, "Yeah, we're the people who don't believe just anything." I try to respond, "We don't find believing in things to be a particularly useful spiritual practice. We like to say we have questions for all your answers." Well, let me then question my answer. Is it true? Is believing in things useful as a spiritual practice or not? Is our questioning an aid or an impediment to spirituality? To get a handle on that, let's look at the SBNRs, the spiritual but not religious. Linda Mercadante presents her qualitative research on SBNRs in her book, Belief Beyond Borders. This was based on her interviews with several hundred people who identified themselves as spiritual but not religious. They announce their spirituality, but they don't feel they fit with the religions available to them. Would SBNRs be at home in a UU church with all our curiosity and questioning? If they would, that would indicate that our questioning is not an impediment, maybe even an aid to spirituality. I'm using the SBNRs, the spiritual but not religious people, as a proxy for us. What do the SBNR mean by spiritual and religious? It varies, of course. There are no required beliefs to be spiritual but not religious. They don't have to agree on what it's about. Some SBNRs are members of churches. They just don't feel they fit in. That was the case with me. I was baptized at age 12. About a year later, listening to radio evangelists, I was converted to atheism. I've since refined that to humanism. I nonetheless continued to hang out in Christian churches for another couple of decades. I never felt at home there. What convinced me to leave, finally, was my desire for spiritual experiences. Does this look like a contradiction, being a humanist and interested in spiritual experiences? I don't see one. I know we call some experiences spiritual, but I don't for a moment believe that they have a supernatural cause. The mechanism is not the experience, and some experiences can be life-transforming. My working definition of spiritual is that it involves deep experiences and coping with the human condition. Deep experiences include mysticism, a feeling of connection with a, quotes, higher power, quieting the flow of self-talk, feeling of being out of the body, losing the feeling of a boundary between oneself and the universe, and so on. I think deep experiences involve the inner mind, the unconscious, the nonverbal brain. Questioning is a very verbal, very outer mind, neocortex thing. So questioning cannot itself constitute a useful spiritual practice. And it may help or hinder other practices. The human condition, it seems to me, is the fruit of human consciousness. Death, per se, is unfortunate. The way consciousness makes us obsess about it is the human condition. Again, more consciousness may be going in the wrong direction. Well, what about the religious part of spiritual but not religious? The most prominent religion in the U.S. is Christianity. So it is pretty clearly one of the religions that the SBNR are not members of. In fact, a rapidly growing number of people are not Christian. In the 1950s, only about 2% of Americans said they were of no religion. But the percentage of N-O-N-E, nuns, has been growing. These are the people who check none for the religious preference on surveys. By 2012, the nuns were 20% of the population, and their percentage has been growing at 0.6% per year. By 2010, just under 50% of American Christian congregations had fewer than 100 worshipers, and 25% had fewer than 50. The spiritual but not religious and the nuns would seem to have a large overlap. I don't have reliable figures on just how large. The Christian churches wonder why the spiritual but not religious don't join them. The churches believe that the spiritual but not religious are unchurched believers, longing for a church home, but being kept away by some traumatic experience in church. They're wrong on all three assumptions. Are the SBNR simply unchurched believers? The spiritual but not religious don't believe in standard Christian theology. They may use the word God, but they don't mean the same thing by it. They often prefer to use some other term like the universe or spirit of life. The Christian view of God is one who is personal, loving, active, intentional, good, just, sovereign, and involved with, but distinct from the universe. The SBNR don't agree with all those characteristics, but they don't agree with each other on which characteristics they disagree with. Are the SBNR longing for a church home? There are several kinds of SBNRs. Some are seeking a religious home, but not all are. Do the spiritual but not religious stay away because of trauma? A big reason the spiritual but not religious stay away is theological. They find Christian theology ugly. They dislike the image of God as an irritable old white guy in the sky. Yeah, that's not mature Christian theology, but the image is pervasive. They dislike the idea of heaven and hell. The spiritual but not religious are dedicated to continual improvement, and to end up in one of two places without further growth is alien to them. And the idea that one could be tortured for eternity for a few petty infractions is monstrous. They dislike the idea that human nature is bad, or more precisely, sinful. They believe in human goodness. They dislike exclusivism, the belief that only one religion is true. They like syncretism, gathering what is useful from a variety of religions. The SBNR reject tradition and church authority. They take responsibility for their faith. They share our curiosity and questioning. The SBNR value experience, and religion, strangely, are not often sources of spiritual experiences. Nature is a much more reliable source. Many of the spiritual but not religious are nature mystics. Now, you may have noticed that these are standard UU attitudes. So, the SBNR should fit in our movement. Let's take a closer look at the kinds of SBNRs and see if they would get their needs met in our highly questioning atmosphere. Those who are looking for a church home, Mercadante calls them the seekers probably mostly would fit. UUism provides a community without a theology that drives people away. But to the extent that the seekers want an experiential religion, maybe not. The casuals have a power strip view of religion. They just plug in whenever they need to recharge. If the casuals want community or mainline Protestant-style worship services, they may drop by. They are welcome. No matter how long it has been since their last visit, nor how long it will be until their next, they are welcome here. But they don't do much committee work. The explorers want to keep on learning new spiritual techniques, having new experiences. We share their curiosity. We might make a good base camp, but the explorers would not get many new experiences from us, just community and mainline Protestant-style worship services. And they can find those in, well, mainline Protestant churches. And in those Protestant churches, they'll find other spiritual techniques, like prayer and scripture reading. Let's look at those to make it clear what kinds of techniques the explorers want to gather and which we do not supply. First, prayer. Not all prayers are talking to God. There are several varieties. Contemplative prayer is quite close to meditation. The talking to God prayers can give a feeling of closeness to God, assuming you want that. When I was a little boy, I was sitting in the bathtub, and I decided to have a conversation with God, but not one of those formal Our Father, Amen ones. So I talked to God for a while, a kind of one-sided conversation, and then I wanted to end the conversation, but I didn't know how. I started imagining going out to play with my friends, with God there watching me. I finally croaked, Amen, and I felt a flood of relief. I learned that Amen is the most important part of a prayer. It's how you get God to go away and leave you alone. I think that was the last time I ever tried individual prayer. Do I want closeness to God? Please, no. Now, scripture reading. For reading scripture to be a spiritual technique, you need to use one of the spiritual modes of interpretation. All the spiritual modes are based on metaphor. Just one example. Take the moral mode. In that, you imagine yourself as one of the characters in a story, and the story seems to speak about your life. Actually, for a really good story, you can take each of the parts, and they all seem to be about your life. Once I was with Mary Ellen Walden and Mark Gallagher, both of whom later became ordained UU ministers. Mark was having a problem, was wondering what to do. Mary Ellen asked if he had a copy of the I Ching. No. Well, I asked, what about the Bible? Yes, he pulled it out. I told him to open to a random page and start reading. In about two-thirds of a page, he came to a story that seemed metaphorically to be talking exactly about what he was dealing with, and that gave him a new perspective on it. Now, we in this fellowship do read poetry and reflect on it. We have greater breadth, but the scriptures have been developed and refined over millennia to be useful for this purpose. I have not noticed us offering many spiritual techniques. Maybe I've just not been paying attention, but I expect the explorers would not find us interesting. Of course, when the explorers do find new techniques, they move on to some other place where they can find even more. We could provide a base camp, a compatible community, who won't criticize them for wandering. In fact, we celebrate their curiosity. The dissenters include those who were hurt or offended by a religious group, but those are a small fraction. Many more dissenters have just drifted away from religion and see no reason to return, and some have principled objections to religion. In the case of dissenters, our perpetual questioning may help. We can help them get rid of their old assumptions and build their own theologies. Overall, UUism is quite compatible with SBNRs, and in some cases, our curiosity and perpetual questioning can help them and us. They do seem to be a good proxy for us. So far, this is a kind of rah-rah boosterism aren't we great? Here are a couple of examples where curiosity hinders spirituality. First, during meditation, the whole point is to stop your mind from kibitzing. Asking questions during meditation destroys meditation. You know, sitting there, counting your breaths, going, ah, how's it going? Am I making any progress? How long's it been? How long do I have to sit here? You keep on doing that, you have not meditated. Also, curiosity can lead to a lack of motivation. I was telling Mary Ellen Walden that I'd figured out how the I Ching works. You ask it a question, then you randomly choose a reading, and although your choice may be random, the readings are not. They are wise and broadly applicable. It's highly likely the reading will give you a perspective that you haven't considered yet. If the reading doesn't seem to apply, then you examine the assumptions behind your question and try another question. Mary Ellen said that she didn't know how the I Ching works. She thought that if the universe were wanting to send her a message, she should be prepared to receive it. She said, "You know how it works. You hardly ever use it. I don't know how it works, and I use it every day. And that's why I'm a saint and you aren't." Yeah, I was also startled at the remark. But she wasn't the one who started calling her a saint. The rest of us did. And as an athlete once said, if you can do it, it's not bragging. Also, she was accurate. She didn't know how the I Ching works. She used it every day. And she was a saint most certainly because of that. My curiosity led me to figure out how it works. I don't use it much, and I'm not a saint. My curiosity was an impediment. To sum up this all, curiosity can help us improve our techniques, seeing what's not working, finding ways to fix it. Curiosity can help liberate people, help them find their own theologies. But questioning itself is not a spiritual practice. It can help, but it can also get in the way.